You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.
And welcome to the Friday edition of Game Misconduct. I'm Don LaGreca. He's Anthony Pusick. How are you, sir?
In person, Don. This doesn't happen very
often. Yes. So far, so good. The flight from Pittsburgh got me to New York, and I've got another flight back to Pittsburgh tonight as the Rangers will finish up their road trip in Game 4 of a 5-game week, which will conclude on Sunday on TNT against the Islanders. A lot of interesting games last night. I guess we'll start with the Rangers. I know a lot of Ranger fans in full-blown panic after what happened last night, a 6-3 loss to Tampa. It was a perfect storm. All right. First of all, it eventually is going to catch up with that you're playing without Jacob Trouba. I know Ranger fans hate Jacob Trouba because they were, 4-0 in the games that he missed, but eventually that's going to catch up with you. Playing it out, Matt Rempe. There was a physical element that I think was missing from their game. But a lot of skill early. They had great jump. It was eerily similar to the Carolina game on Tuesday, Anthony, where they dominated the first period, but they got a couple of goals. And then the role reversal where Tampa fought back, counterpunched in the second. And then when I got to the third, I said it on the air because I was calling a game with Dave. Said, this is a really tough spot for the Rangers. This is their third game in four nights. Tampa hadn't played since the 7-0 win against Philadelphia on Saturday. Tampa's desperate. It was the theme throughout the morning skate, talking to John Cooper, that they needed every single point. And you saw it in the third period. Even though Roslovic scored his first goal as a Ranger to give them an early lead, the ice was tilted the rest of the way, Anthony. I can't fault Shesterkin on any of the five goals that he gave up. It's just, it was a convoluted, you know, the Trocheck getting tripped by Shesterkin that led to the Duclair goal, a bad hop off the point hitting the crossbar, and then the sharp angle back to him for the goal, for the hat trick. Just for a team that was really hot, just a perfect storm of events that had taken place, and they end up losing to, they may not look like a great team in the standings, but there's a lot of winning pedigree in that room, and that was a tough spot for the Rangers in the third period, and it showed.
Yeah, I think what's most frustrating, Don, is they got out to that hot start, right? They got the 2-0 lead, they got the 3-2 lead in the third, and then they give it up. If they looked like they just didn't have it all night, I'm sure Ranger fans would still be frustrated, but you'd say, okay, you know, they didn't have it. It's just one of those games. And it kind of snuck up on them a period and a half into the game, but they just didn't have it last night, especially defensively. You said it yourself. I don't know if you fault Shesterkin for many of those goals. There wasn't much he could do on any of them. And it was just overall just kind of sloppiness. The power play is still an issue that has to be addressed. I know that they've scored a couple of goals, but I think Larry Brooks had it. The 8 goals they've scored over the last couple of games have come in 3 games. So when the power play works, it works.
When it doesn't, it doesn't.
And that's an issue, and that's something they're going to have to address. The problem with all these games, Don, is they don't have a whole lot of practice time. Jack Roslovic had a great game, but he really is just coming, getting acclimated on the fly here, along with Alex Wenberg. You know, and the schedule doesn't really get any easier and doesn't really let up for this Rangers team. So they're going to have to learn on the fly here. And Laviolette hinted at it. Zibanejad left when he got hit in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Panarin got slashed in his finger. He said a couple guys are banged up. Remember Fox before that Devil game and the Carolina game, there was a debate of whether Ruida would have to play.
Right.
Because who knew what was going on with him? Probably an illness of some kind.
I think he was
but a couple
sick.
Guys are banged up, and it's three games in four nights.
Yeah, and Tampa's desperate. I mean, Tampa went into that game with just a 2-point lead on the Islanders and the Red Wings. You know, they were able to lengthen that with the Islanders and Red Wings losing. We'll get to that in a second. But I'll say this about Tampa. You know, Laviolette said it in the morning skate. They've got a winning pedigree. They've got a great coach. So forget about like what's happened earlier. That's going to be a tough team. They're making the playoffs. And I got to tell you, the additions of Duclair and Dumba, very, very good by Julian. He did a tremendous job because Duclair, even though he's playing on his 8th team, he's got a really good nose for the net. He has scored now in 4 straight games, his last 2 in San Jose, his first 2 in Tampa. Dumba is a really nice third-pair defenseman. So they've done well for themselves at the trade deadline. These were not splashy moves, much like the Rangers, but they're perfect fits for that team. So they're a different team moving forward, and I think Tampa's going to make the playoffs. So now it just comes down to, And so we'll get to your social media, but I saw somebody had mentioned it could be six teams for one spot. You know, so Philadelphia, they get trounced by Toronto. The Islanders get shut out by Buffalo. So Buffalo's creeping back up. That was a nice win for the Capitals in Seattle. Now, the problem is they got to go to Vancouver over the weekend. They're on that Western swing. So you've got Buffalo now involved. You've got the Islanders holding on to that last playoff spot. Detroit's in free fall, seven straight losses. You can't lose at home to the Coyotes when you're trying to get back. I know Dylan Larkin's out, but that's just too much losing for one guy to be out. And the Devils spanked the Stars in Dallas. Explain that to me. So you're going to have like just a race for that, I guess technically two spots, because whoever finishes in third and then the one wild card spot, because I believe Tampa's going to be in. Tampa can't climb to three in the Atlantic.
Yeah.
But certainly the Islanders can if Philadelphia free falls. So it's going to be a fun last 15, 16 games of the season to see how it rounds out in the East, because as I've said, and I'm going to go on record again, I think the West is set, but the East, I think, is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with you, Don. I mean, we kind of left the Islanders for dead a long time ago. Even when it didn't go right with Patrick Roy, we thought, you know what, maybe this roster just isn't what they need to be. Maybe it's not as strong as they need it to be, but they've seemed to have figured it out. They've lost two straight, and of course that game last night shows you that this team is missing a couple of things, but give credit to Wah for getting them in the position they're in to even be in a playoff spot, given how bad the season start was and how we thought they were dead probably like January. The Red Wings, as you said, free fall. Capitals, you always kind of think that they're hanging around. I don't see it. Buffalo, boy, for RJ Santillo, that would be amazing.
To be able
to get them. But, you know, they don't have two games in hand. They've already played two more games than the Islanders. They're 3 points back. So they're going to have to keep a magical run similar to what the Islanders did in order to even be relevant. But I got to tell you, good for them, because that's a team that has struggled for a really, really long time. They actually have a plus goal differential now. They're plus two.
Yeah, how about that?
And in front of them is the Capitals at minus 31. I mean, and you said goal differential is a good indicator there, Don. And the Flyers have a minus five, which is why you could see they've been struggling, of course, without Carter Hart. The East is going to be very, very interesting. Of course, Carolina creeps back in. They get a win against the Panthers last night. That was a pretty good win for them.
It was.
And now they are, once again, 4 points back of the Rangers after losing to them. And the Rangers had that six-point cushion with the same amount of games played. And look at Florida and Boston, only 1 point behind each other. Florida does have a game in hand,
mm-hmm.
and they have that point advantage. And then you also have Toronto, 65 games, three games in hand on Boston, and they're at 84 points. It's going to be a logjam up front, but in the bottom, when you get to that wild card, you could say the Flyers drop out. You could say the Islanders move in. You've got Tampa. You've got Detroit if they figure it out. Maybe Washington, maybe Buffalo. Should be exciting.
Yeah, it's interesting because you've got the seven-game losing streak for the Detroit. They followed that up with the five-game winning streak, so they do seem to be a bit streaky. They get Larkin back. They can still make it. And you talk about goal differential. Every team with a plus goal differential is in the playoffs in the West. Every team with a minus is out. The only team that's in the playoffs right now with a minus goal differential in the league are the Islanders at minus 16.
And the Flyers.
The Flyers have dipped to minus five, and I'm not sure that either of those teams are even a lock to make it, but still, you need to get that plus goal differential. It's a really good indicator of how good a hockey team you could end up being at the end of the day. So, that was a good win for the Hurricanes, as you mentioned. Now they close the gap back to 4 points back of the Rangers in the Metropolitan Division. Shutting out Florida is no easy task at all. The Penguins. Yeah, the Penguins are interesting. I'm going to be in Pittsburgh tomorrow for that game on national television. They doubled up the Sharks, although it was kind of an ugly game. I think they're dead. They obviously sold off Gensel, so that kind of indicates that. But what's going to happen with this team moving forward, Anthony?
I don't know.
Can you blow? I guess you want to blow it up. I was talking to some people.
Ooh.
In Tampa.
Donnie Insiders.
That feel like, just opinion more than insight, that the only way they can get out from under this is to trade Sidney Crosby. I mean, you still have, what, 3 years left on Malkin, years left on Letang. The Carlson deal is not going to age well. It's awful. Like, so you got to replenish somehow. Now, Washington's been able to do it with everybody but Ovechkin. What's Pittsburgh moving? What do they have? That's why they had to trade Gensel, because he was the one piece they could move. He was a free agent. They literally cannot afford to keep him, and that's going to be, so they can't replenish.
Also, something that Sidney Crosby wasn't thrilled with, based on the way that he reacted afterwards.
Well, but I think he's not happy, but I think if they have a meeting with him, if Dubas has a meeting with Crosby's people to say, I think we have to have a parting of the ways here, there has to be kind of, and I'm hesitant to say a Ray Bourque situation because Bourque did not win in Boston. Let's not feel bad for Sidney Crosby. He's won 3 Stanley Cups. He's going to the Hall of Fame as a champion. You know, he had the golden goal for Team Canada. But he's a winner. He wants to win. And I think, I know on ESPN, PK Subban went after the Pittsburgh organization for not doing enough for Crosby. I think the best thing you could do for Sid is trade him. Well, they tried to get everything. That's why they re-signed Letang and Malkin. That's why they went out and got Carlson. You know, so it's time to really do something here. And that's, I think, the only thing they can do. Otherwise, they're going to be stuck where Detroit was when they lost all of their stars. Kind of what's happening in the NBA with the San Antonio Spurs. Not everybody can be the Yankees and finish above 500 every year. Eventually, you bottom out. And the decisions you make as you're bottoming out are going to determine how long you're going to be a bottom feeder.
Well, that's something I disagree with PK on. I think they're doing everything they can to be relevant while Crosby's still there.
Yeah, it's killing them.
A la the New York Giants with Eli Manning. And again,
killed them.
Sidney Crosby, a much higher echelon of player and will be remembered higher in the National Hockey League than Eli Manning, although he probably will be a Hall of Famer in the NFL. But it kills you because you want to hold on to your star and you want to be as successful as you possibly can with that star. But you know what? While Crosby, while he is not the player that he was 5-10 years ago, he's still at the top of his game. Malkin is not. Yeah. Letang is not. Letang's had a lot of health issues, let alone injury issues. Yeah. And, you know, you hold on to Gensel as long as you possibly can. It just didn't work out this year. They just didn't. You knew they weren't going to have enough done. They weren't going to have this run the Islanders had in them. They weren't going to. Maybe. And look, I'm not saying that Sidney Crosby can't be on a losing team. It just would be kind of weird. Look at Ovechkin. I mean, he was on some bad Capitals teams before he finally won a cup. And that team looks like it's going through a transition as well. Maybe you do trade him. Now, I don't know where he'd want to go. I don't know if he'd have an appetite
for it. Well, he would want to go to Colorado. I don't know if it could fit. But it fits Pittsburgh. You get him out of the conference. He gets to play with McKinnon. That seems to make sense. I don't know if it works cap-wise and all that, but that just seems to be where everybody points and says that's where he needs to go. If you look at Western Conference teams, you're probably not going to trade him in the East. So where does he go? Where he's got a chance to win, and Colorado seems like the best place, the best destination. You know, could Vancouver bring that on at some point? I mean, those are the teams you kind of look at, the upper echelon Western Conference teams. I don't think he'd want to go to Winnipeg. No offense to Winnipeg. I love it, but not everybody else does. But, you know, Vancouver, Colorado, Dallas, those are probably the places. But again, we'll see. I don't know what their overall plan is going to be.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, it's Friday. We haven't done it in a while, although I don't know how much movement we're going to have, but are you ready for the top five of the week?
Oh, I was born ready.
Don LaGreca's Friday Top 5. Yeah! Number 5.
I am going, for the first time this year, to acknowledge and praise the Nashville Predators.
Look at you!
Was it 11 straight games without a loss? They have really made not only a run, but they've been a dominant team, and they're everything the Nashville Predators are about. You know, now all of a sudden the goaltending is great, and they clamp it down. They get goals when they need it. They've got enough firepower there to be able to get by because they play so well defensively. You gotta love what they've been able to put together. Andrew Burnett is really found a way to kind of have a cohesive unit here where this doesn't seem like it's as much of a fluke. I don't think they can make a kind of run, but what they've been able to do here over the last month, I have to acknowledge and put them in the top five.
I'm sticking with the Bruins. Just the way that we're getting down to the wire here, I know that there are some teams that could probably make it. I don't have Carolina in my top five. Right. I think that's disrespectful because they did just beat the Florida Panthers. They kept it close with the Rangers, and that is going to be a team that is going to make noise and I think is going to has a very good chance of making the Eastern Conference Final, and I know that comes at the expense of my Rangers if that's the case. But I'm going to go with Boston. 5-2-3 in their last 10. They still love those overtime losses. Mm. They've got 15 now, while the Islanders only have 14. But they beat the Canadiens last night in overtime in Montreal. That's a regardless of how good or bad Montreal is, a rivalry game is always tough. They have 93 points, which is good for second most in the National Hockey League. I can't not keep Boston in the top five, so they are number five.
Number four.
I'm with you. I can't put Carolina in, and I have to put Boston in, and the reason the tiebreaker for me is the goaltending. Kochenkov, really good. I thought he was outstanding in the loss, 1-0 to the Rangers.
Yes, he
was. Anderson's back. I just think Boston's goaltending is better. I do like this Carolina team. They're very well coached. They clamp it down. But I just think Boston right now, until otherwise, I'm not going to knock them out of the top five. It was a very, very difficult decision, but I'm happy with the top three that I'm going to give you. So it came down to Carolina and Boston, so I'm with you. I've got Boston in the top five, and I've got them at four.
I'm going to go with Vancouver. I had them as one of my favorite teams in the league all year. I think they still do have the best offense in the National Hockey League. They are 5-3-2 as opposed to the Bruins 5-2-3 in their last 10 games. They did have their last game being an overtime loss. They have 92 points. They're the best in the West. I actually have a West team ahead of them this week.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have Vancouver as number four.
Number three.
So I think this is the West team that you have. I've got Colorado at three.
Yes.
So I've dropped Vancouver out as well, just based on how Colorado is playing right now. And then you hear news that maybe Landeskog could be back for the playoffs. Oh, my God, how devastating that team could be. MacKinnon now leads the league in points with 115. Although the way Kucherov was playing last night, I thought he was going to pass MacKinnon during the course of the game. He had 4 points, and now he's got 111. But we're seeing, I remember when it was almost impossible to get 100 points in the league, and now it seems to be happening with a lot of different players. But Colorado is just stacked. I've always thought Jared Bednar is a very underrated coach, so I've got Colorado at three.
Yeah, Colorado at three, plus 49 goal differential, 251 goals. Their home record is unbelievable, 26-6-0. If they can get that second spot or even the first spot in the Central, look out, because they are almost unbeatable when they are at home. Five-game win streak, 7-2-1 in their last 10. What else is there to say? At the moment, Colorado playing like the best team in the West. I have them at number three.
Number two.
Even though they lost last night, the Rangers have played just tremendously well. Very good on the road, very good at home, tighten it up defensively. Igor Shesterkin has been terrific. Even without Jacob Trouba, they're 4-1 without him in the lineup, which is pretty good. And you're going to see Wennberg and Roslovic really just shine here. You finally got to see Roslovic with his due, with a goal and a point last and an assist last night. Wennberg has been very good for them. Mika is now starting to score 5-on-5. I can't knock him out of the top five. I still, despite the loss last night, have the New York Rangers at number two.
Yeah, tough schedule coming up for this team, and they're kind of already in it, but I do have the Rangers at two. We'll see how good they play in this next two-week stretch. They might slip a little bit further if they have a couple hiccups here. You can consider yesterday to be one, although Tampa is a good team and most likely a playoff team. I like the way the Rangers are playing. Roslovic seems to be fitting nicely next to Kreider and Zibanejad. They're deep. Matt Rempe eventually comes back. Will he make the lineup? Johnny Brodzinski, not his best game last night, but then again, you can't say a whole lot of guys had good games for the Rangers last night. So we'll see how that transpires, but at the moment, I have the Rangers at two, and I think, Don, we're in agreement.
Number one.
Yeah, Flo Rida.
Yeah, no reason to get too in-depth. The Florida Panthers are your number one team, despite getting shut out last night, and it just, for all the reasons we've said pretty much in the entire year. Quickly back to the Rangers. Will Cooley benched after that penalty in the third period. Brodzinski, you know, his share of mistakes as well. So it's very interesting. Matt Rempe taking a look at what's happening in the two games, 1-1 during his suspension. How will or where will he fit when he comes back? Kind of interesting stuff that happened last night. And an interesting week for the Rangers, you're right, because you got Pittsburgh and the Islanders to finish up this week. And then Tuesday, Winnipeg comes to town. We know how good they are.
No easy task.
Then a trip to Boston. And then Florida comes in, big 8 o'clock, ABC, Saturday night. So, very interesting week for the New York Rangers as well. Let's do some social media, shall we?
I think we should. I think that's a responsibility about it.
We've got a lot of tweets from people. It's like, hey guys, bit of fun. What game would you rather call? Or he's asking me, I guess, Game 7 of the Stanley Cup for the Rangers or a Team USA gold medal match in the Olympics? Well, here's the thing. I think just because of how close I've been with this team now for the last 15 years, I think I would probably go with the Rangers winning the cup. As great as an Olympic gold would be, I think part of the thrill to call a championship? Is it be for the team that you've called games with and you've traveled with and you know and you got to know the players? So both would be amazing, but I would probably go with the Rangers winning a game 7 over Team USA.
Yeah, I would say experience-wise, going to the Olympics would be really, really cool, but to be part of a team, be with that team for how long you've been done and however long a broadcast team is, because you travel with the team most of the time, you're with the team, you get to know these guys, to be able to call them reaching the pinnacle would be something I couldn't even fathom in terms of emotion. Yeah. So I'd probably agree with you, Game 7, but it would be really cool to call an Olympics.
Sam Diaz says, assuming Trouba and Rempe are available, what are your thoughts or what are your lines and D pairs for the playoffs? I would leave the top two lines as is and have VC Wenberg, Kako on the third and Cooley, Gaudreau, and Rempe on the fourth. Defensive lines, he likes Fox and Lindy, Schneider, Miller, Trouba, and Gustafson.
I told you.
Yeah, but I told you. I just can't have Trouba playing less minutes. That's the problem is that, all right, you could talk about pairings, but that means Trouba is going to be playing like, you know, 17, 18 minutes compared to the 28 he's probably going to be playing in a big playoff spot. So you're not messing with that, although I do think Miller and Schneider are a good pair, although Miller did have a lot of problems
he
last night.
He slipped a lot last. That ice was not, that did ice, not the, look great.
We speculate it was 87 degrees during the course of the day, but it gets hot in Tampa, you know. That seemed to be a real issue for the Rangers more so than anybody else, but the puck seemed to be bouncing a little bit. I would rather have the conversation about the forward. I don't mind what he's saying there. I think there could be a certain work in progress with the third and fourth lines. You're obviously not touching the top lines, but a VC Wenberg Kako combination I think works. And if you wanted to put Cooley on that fourth line, I wouldn't have a problem with that either. But I'm not messing with the D pairs.
Yeah, Laviolette kind of said it throughout the year. He was very impressed with Cooley's progression, and he really hasn't had a whole lot to say bad about him. Now, he may not have had a good game last night, but something else to keep in mind with this Ranger team, Don. Laviolette said when they made all these trades, like, you're going to probably see a couple of jumblings of those third and fourth lines. Certain games Rempe plays, certain games Brodzinski finds his way back in. Basically, it's going to come down to, do the Rangers feel like they need speed or do they need grit for whatever game it is? Now, in a 7-game series, that's a little tougher because you pretty much have the same team night in and night out, and if you see that the team is lacking speed, you use Brodzinski as opposed to Rempe, or vice versa, or maybe Enstrom finds his way back into the lineup at some capacity when he gets called up. I don't hate that. I mean, again, I think you're kind of just shuffling deck chairs there at that point. I kind of like the way that all six of those bottom six guys play. They can play well together. VC has shown he could play pretty much on any side and on any line. Will Cooley has been given a lot of responsibility by Peter Laviolette, so I could see him being good on a fourth line as well. I think that this team got deeper. I think that this team is a little more balanced. And I don't think it's crazy to be experimenting within these last 17 games to see if the third and fourth lines could be a little better and see if you could strike gold and get three lines that you feel really good about going into the playoffs.
Tim Hill says, guys, to what extent is Red Wings slump a coaching issue? They are missing Larkin's scoring and leadership on the ice, but they are showing up looking unprepared and starting games on their heels.
It's a fight in practice. You saw that?
Yeah, I did see that. And that just shows you what the issues are pretty deep there. Confidence looks gone, but what's the motivation? Lalonde doesn't have a ton of experience, if you want to tell me that it's a coaching thing.
But he's been with those Tampa teams under Cooper.
But you know what? I mean, it's kind of like, Dave Lewis became a head coach. Mm-hmm. He had all those years in the Red Wings under Scotty Bowman. It didn't necessarily work out. You see a lot of assistants who get those opportunities, and just because they came from a winning pedigree doesn't necessarily mean that they can translate, especially during crisis time. Sorry, I don't care if you coach with John Cooper, you're not John Cooper. I don't care if you coach with Bill Belichick, you're not Bill Belichick. We've seen that tons of times in sports. So, listen, am I close enough to the Red Wings to be able to give that, definitive? I'd have to, talk to guys like Ken Cowell, their radio guy that's with them all the time. Ken Daniels as well. I don't think they have any more games left with Detroit to be able to see. You need to talk to somebody who sees them day in and day out, but I can't say you're wrong. All I know is one guy, as significant as Larkin is, one guy shouldn't have you go from winning 5 in a row to losing 7 straight and losing at home to the Coyotes. No offense to Arizona, they are what they are.
Something that was interesting to me, Don, I don't know if you felt this way. The Red Wings didn't really make a big splash at the deadline. I'm not saying go get one of the top guys, go get Gensel or something like that, but for a team that was in the playoff hunt and at the time, I think, of the deadline in the last wild card spot, they didn't really upgrade at all. And you had the Larkin injury, and I'm not saying that, look, I'm not saying the cupboard's bare for them, but a lot of their young guys are up here and playing, and it took them a while to get to this point. So do you want to mortgage pieces of your future for a run, as we've talked about, Don, where the top teams in this league are probably going to win the cup this year? We say that now, but the Florida Panthers made the Stanley Cup final last year. Could Nashville be that magical team that makes that run? But you would probably guess that it's going to be one of those top four teams in the East or West that are going to win. Why mortgage your future? I can understand that, but maybe, you know, the Red Wings see everybody around them getting better. Even the Lightning made a move. You know, the Islanders stood pat, so they didn't necessarily tear it up. And they go, well, wow, this is the guys we have. Let's roll it out here. And they've been on this. And then you see the fights in practice. They're struggling. They don't have answers, it seems like. And they didn't really get any reinforcements. So maybe there's just something there. Again, we aren't there. We have no idea. But that was something weird to me, that they didn't really go out and make that move at the deadline to try and get them better to make a run in the cup.
Jake says, best forward group in the NHL, probably Florida, but the West is absolutely stacked with deep teams. Obviously, Colorado is what you're talking about there. But I'll tell you, and maybe it's recency bias because I was just there, Tampa.
You know, yeah.
I was talking about it with Dave during the broadcast. This is the best power play in the National Hockey League. And that's why they were playing with fire, given the Tampa that third power play opportunity in the third where Stamkos scored. Steven Stamkos, I don't know if he cracks the top four. Right? You've got Kucherov, 111 points, a flat-out star in this league. Braden Point might be the most underrated player in the league. He is a fantastic player, 36 goals on the season. Then you look at what Cirelli is. Then you have Stamkos. That's a pretty deep, you know, and Paul's not a bad player, and Anthony Duclair's got 18 goals now, and I think if he played on Tampa all year, instead of San Jose, he's probably approaching like mid-20s in goals on that team. They're pretty stacked. And I mentioned it with Dave. He's like, they're the number one power play. And I said, because everything good about them is on that power play. I mean, their first unit is Kucherov, Cirelli, Stamkos, Point.
It's pretty dangerous.
And Hedman. I mean, that's pretty amazing. You know, the first unit on the power play, and like the Rangers, they spend most of the 2 minutes with that first unit. I'd have to put Tampa in that conversation.
Yeah, I like the Avalanche too. I like Vancouver. Vancouver's very deep at center, but then
place to be deep.
Yeah, very absolutely. But then you get down to the third line, and you're like, okay, Nils Höglander and Phil DiGiuseppe's on that team, former Ranger. Good for him on the fourth line. So you know they're not the deepest. But Colorado, like you said, Don, if Landeskog comes back. I think they can make the case to have the deepest forward group. Vancouver's in that conversation. Colorado's in that conversation. I do think that it's Florida. I like your Tampa take, though. I don't hate your Tampa take. I like that.
And finally, Sean says, Buffalo making a huge move up the standings. Road trip coming up with a must-win against Detroit tomorrow. 9-15 on the road to close out the season. 9-15. But have Detroit twice, New Jersey, Tampa, and Washington. Should Anthony put a future on them getting in? They're plus 1,200 for the playoffs, plus 30,000 to win the cup. I mean, they're getting goaltending. That's been the biggest difference for them there. But I don't know if they're going to make. I wouldn't bet on them making the playoffs because they played too many games, because that kind of skews how close they are. I think they played 67 games, so they don't have the games in hand, which I think are going to hurt them. But again, they get close, they tease you. At some point, they're going to be tied again with the Jets if they don't make the playoffs for the longest run in North American sports without going to the playoffs. Pretty amazing.
Are any of the Sabres attempting to run for vice president?
Well, let me get 1 second. I don't know if you saw my tweet yesterday.
Which one?
It was during the morning skate.
With the Zamboni?
This is with the Zamboni.
I did.
So the Rangers are waiting.
I almost cried.
For the Zamboni. And it reminded me, because Fritz Dietzel's, which was a skating rink in Westwood, New Jersey, is where I learned to skate. It's where I fell in love with hockey because my dad worked the snack stand and rode the Zamboni. And he'd have to clean the Zamboni. And then at like midnight, when the general skating was over, he'd clean up. And then the hockey teams would come into practice. And I was like 10 years old, and I was seeing this. And my memory of the place, because I haven't set foot in there since 1978, all right? So obviously my memory is skewed, the size and everything, but everybody told me low ceilings, squared off corners. Stan Fischler tweeted me saying he remembered the Devils practicing there. There's no way that happened. They would have wrecked the place. But to me, it was a big, huge place because I was a kid, you know? And so it kind of brought back memories of watching the Rangers looking at the Zamboni waiting to go on the ice. And anybody that's ever skated, that's like a big deal. But then people were tweeting me, telling me that very recently it had closed down. And I wanted to go one last time to check it out. And then I found out that I guess a couple of months ago it got sold. They're going to tear it down. They're going to sell the real estate because it's in Bergen County, very high end. So they're probably going to put something there that's going to, you know, make whoever owns it
a
fortune. But, oh, I just had so many memories of that place. And so, and there's a picture of my dad working a snack stand. I'll try to find it. Maybe I'll tweet it out. I mean, he had a big full beard and all that. So I was kind of bummed about that. So it was kind of just a fun tweet that I sent out there and then seeing the reaction from people who live in that area. So we all have our one little piece that that brings it together for sports, and that was mine for hockey. So
that's really cool.
Kind of bummed that they've closed it down. I don't know. I got to get over there. Unfortunately, I don't live anywhere near there. Westwood, New Jersey, for people who don't know, is in Bergen County. It's like right near the border of New York. So it's right up North Jersey, and I live in Central Jersey now, so it's a bit of a haul. Even from where I used to live in Hawthorne, it's still, you know, about, you know, half hour away. So just to be able to go there, check it out, not knowing. But I'd love to be able to find out from anybody. Is it still standing? Can you go peek in? Because I'd like to check that place out again just before they tear it down.
Sure, of course.
But I just wanted
That'd be really cool. Yeah, hopefully you get to go see it.
Anthony, hopefully we'll have EJ on Monday.
That'd be great.
So looking forward to that. You want to get in touch with us? At Don LaGreca, at Anthony Pusick, hashtag Game Misconduct. We'll talk to you again on Monday. This was the Friday edition of Game Misconduct.
This is the Game Misconduct Podcast with Don LaGreca.